From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Heaven is a place where we shall never sin, where we shall cease our constant watch against an indefatigable enemy, because there will be no tempter to ensnare our feet. There the wicked cease from troubling, and the weary are at rest. Heaven is the undefiled inheritance. It is the land of perfect holiness, and therefore of complete security. But do not the saints, even on earth, sometimes taste the joys of blissful security? The doctrine of God's word is that all who are in union with the Lamb are safe, that all the righteous shall hold on their way, that those who have committed their souls to the keeping of Christ shall find Him a faithful and immutable preserver. Sustained by such a doctrine, we can enjoy security even on earth. Not that high and glorious security which renders us free from every slip, but that holy security which arises from the sure promise of Jesus, that none who believe in Him shall ever perish, but shall be with Him where He is. Believer, let us often reflect with joy on the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, and honor the faithfulness of our God by a holy confidence in Him. May our God bring home to you a sense of your safety in Christ Jesus. May He assure you that your name is graven on His hand, and whisper in your ear the promise, "Fear not, I am with thee." Look upon Him, the great surety of the covenant, as faithful and true, and therefore bound and engaged to present you, the weakest of the family, with all the chosen race before the throne of God. And in such a sweet contemplation, you will drink the juice of the spiced wine of the Lord's pomegranate, and taste the dainty fruits of paradise. You will have an antepast of the enjoyments which ravish the souls of the perfect saints above, if you can believe with unstaggering faith that faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it.
Overwhelmed by His mercy, amazed by His grace, I am cleansed from all sin, every sign, every trace. Jesus left heaven's portals, Himself to abase. I'm overwhelmed by His mercy and His all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, a tender relief. When sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by His mercy and His all-sufficient grace.
I will rest in His keeping each night and each day, for I know that He's leading each step of the way. Though the valleys of sadness at times comforts all heartaches with his all-sufficient grace.
God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. Oh, what love God bestows upon all who believe. He will free you from guilt when his Son you receive. He has promised to keep you, prepare you a place, if you'll take of his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace.
To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus upon the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make this booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. As he continues with his study in the law of God, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the eighth commandment, Thou shalt not steal. The overall thrust of this commandment is the maintaining of honor and honesty in safeguarding our rights and the rights of others. This includes the recognition of property rights and personal rights. It also emphasizes personal responsibility in providing for family needs, for protecting the poor and needy. At the same time, the Bible places no premium upon indolence. Behind every aspect of this command, there is a spiritual priority, for God knows our motives. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
The Word of God is eloquent. In fact, the Word of God is demanding about the compassionate treatment of the poor. Again, let us not, as Christians, give this up to the self-styled liberals. Every great advance for humankind in compassionate treatment, in cutting off the excesses that always come with heathenism, humanism, and paganism, every great advance has come through the Christian church, applying the Word of God. That's where our hospitals came from. That's where the care of the poor came from. That's where the protection of the needy came from. In every case, when there was none to save the little infants that were left to die by the banks of the Tiber in ancient Rome, it was the Christians with little enough of this world's goods and their own lives on the line who went out and saved them from death and raised them as their own children. That was but the first link in a chain of what the Bible calls the law of kindness. The Word of God is demanding about the compassionate treatment of the poor, but it gives absolutely no comfort to those people who make their poverty a right to lay hold of other people's property and assume little or no responsibility for their own welfare. In other words, there is a very nice balance here, and I use the word nice in its proper term, its proper meaning. There's a very nice balance here between rights and responsibility. And then underlying even these three principles, you have here the recognition of spiritual priorities. You see, behind every action there's an attitude. Every deed has a seed of heart attitude. And when it says, thou shalt not steal, we could put it in the words of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, now understand, it doesn't say they who are rich, who have been successful, but they who have the consuming passion to be rich, not the consuming passion to work, not the consuming passion to do good, not the consuming passion to be holy, but who will be rich at all costs. He says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, at many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Here then are the four great principles upon which our text is based, the principles that the eighth commandment expounds. Personal or property rights, personal responsibility, and spiritual priorities, getting spiritual things in their proper place. Now then, with that as a basis, let's come to the actual words, thou shalt not steal. So that's a prohibition. And I want us to think of the prohibition which this commandment enacts. We need to start off with a definition. What is stealing? one of those words that everybody understands, even if they can't tell you what it means. Stealing, we will take in a very general way, as the illegal or the unjust appropriation of what belongs to somebody else. The appropriation of another person's rightful property without his consent, whether by violence, deceit, or fraud. Now, what determines what is legal and illegal here is law. Not just the law of man, but the law of God. Because the law of man comes down very hard on certain types of stealing, and yet it turns a blind eye to certain other types of stealing. The reformers, Martin Luther was very strong in this. He used to point out that the law made a great cry against theft, and it took every little petty thief and it dealt with him. But the great thieves, the princes of the world, the great commercial barons of Europe, the Pope and his lackeys, they could denude an entire country of its natural wealth and leave its entire population without food, clothing, or means of providing them. And there was no law against them. But there is such a law. It's the law of God. So that is stealing. It's the illegal or unjust appropriation of another person's rightful property. Now, what's the extent of this prohibition? Thou shalt not steal. What does that mean? It means every conceivable kind of stealing. You may be surprised where the Bible starts here. When the Bible starts discussing stealing, it puts something at the very head of the list that many people never even think of as coming under the Eighth Commandment. And the Word of God places stealing people as the worst form of thievery. In Exodus 21, verse 16, he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, that's if he has bought him and now he's received him, he shall surely be put to death. Is that clear? Could words be plainer? Deuteronomy 24, verse 7. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. Turn to the New Testament. There are certain passages in the New Testament, we read one of them tonight, that will take a list of some of the Ten Commandments, and it will restate them. We have such a restatement in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where the apostle says, for whom the law of God is made, or upon whom the law of God puts a great weight. He says it's for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane. And then he seems to start with the fifth commandment and go through to the ninth commandment and refers to them in order. For murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. That at least takes in the fifth commandment and leads us into the sixth. For manslayers, that's the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, that's the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now we're ready for the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. But what does it say? For man-stealers. So when the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Ghost, comes now to deal with this crime of stealing, he isolates the worst form of theft. What is the most precious property a man has? It's his own body and soul. If it's bad to steal his purse, how much worse to steal his person? You can see what the commandment's getting at. There's been a lot of drivel talked about the biblical basis of slavery. It does not exist. Let's understand that. It does not exist. Men have bought and sold their fellow men throughout much of history. And they have made them the property of another man. They have given it the stamp of human law. They have enacted laws in various legislatures in various times to make it appear as a just trade. But it never was and never could be. It is illegal, immoral, unchristian, and unthinkable that one man can own another as if he were a dog. Such property is wickedly and unjustly acquired. No amount of money, no amount of legal chicanery can ever make it legitimate. It's interesting that the Bible speaks of Babylon, that system of anti-Christianity. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 13, and it speaks of her as being full of the slaves and souls of men. And the Greek text literally is of the bodies and souls of men. And our translators got the idea that this is the slave trade, enslaving body and soul. Very interesting that the Word of God in passing judgment on theft did not allow, unlike many of the judicial systems of the so-called Christian world, it did not allow capital punishment for a crime against property. I want you to understand that. The Bible has capital punishment for many things, but it was never for theft. There was a punishment, even for the man who stole because he felt he had to steal, stealing even to eat. There was a punishment, but it was never capital. But when it came to stealing a man, the sentence was death. That's what God thinks of trading in human flesh. This country is paying a horrible, horrendous, and I fear an endless price for the crime of trading in the bodies and souls of men. No Christian could read of men stolen from their homes, women torn from their children, and their husbands or their fathers and their mothers, and packed like rats in a vessel to live or die, them to be sold as chattels. No Christian's conscience can be easy about that. This is a stain, a blot, not only in America, England, in Europe, and sad to say, even in all too many Protestant churches, it grieves me as a Presbyterian to have to say, in all too many Presbyterian churches, some men, as products of their time, did not understand the full violence and wickedness of the system. We can't judge men from a past day with the light and experience of our day. That's unjust. But let us say people with a Reformation heritage, people who had Luther and Calvin as their spiritual progenitors, should never, never, never have fallen into the darkness of the trade in the body and souls of men. Nowadays, there still is slavery in the world. The religion of Islam has always been a slave-holding religion, and it remains so to this day. But for the most part, kidnapping now is, in the West at least, usually for the purposes of extortion. And God condemns that as well. Trading in people. That's the curse of God. That's the worst form of stealing that a person can be guilty of.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.